Shalom, everyone. I'm not growling today. That's just what my voice is doing. So, yes, we're going to talk about the plagues on Egypt today. And I'm not going to be giving all the scriptures twice because they're mostly in Exodus, beginning at chapter 1 and going on to chapter 11. I'll keep it posted as to where we are occasionally, but I think you'll be able to keep track of it. And also, if you have any comments on what we're talking about today, I think I'd like to hear them. Keep your comments short and to the point, but there may be more in this message than I was able to find. Yes?
I have a comment. Any comments? Repeat the comment so those on the internet can hear.
Yes, sir. I will do that. Thank you. That's a good idea. I've often thought about that when I watch something. Okay, we'll begin with Exodus 2, the birth of Moses, Moshe, I'll call him. And Moshe was born to a family of the tribe of Levi. And there was an order. As you can read in Exodus 1, there was an order that any male child should be killed among the Hebrews. And that was the rule from the Pharaoh, and it had to be obeyed. So Moshe's mother took him and put him in a basket and gave the basket to her daughter and said, "Put this in the Nile River, and we hope someone will find it and take good care of our baby." Well, who should find the baby but the princess, Pharaoh's daughter? And she heard the baby crying in this basket and sent one of her maids to go and check it out. And here's this beautiful little baby. And with that, Moshe's older sister, Miriam, came to her and said, "That's a nice baby. Would you like me to get one of the women from the Hebrews to nurse it for you?" And she said, "Oh yes, please do." So in Exodus 2, verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, well, when Moses' mother finally came to get the baby, Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' mother, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall pay your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. It's nice getting paid for something you wanted to do anyway. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moshe, saying, "Because I have drawn him out of the water." And the word for drawing out is Musha, and that was pretty close. If this was being done today, she might have named him Extracted or Withdrawn, whatever. So Moses grew up in the palace and killed an Egyptian for hurting one of the Hebrews. And in verse 15, we read that Pharaoh heard of this matter, and he sought to kill Moshe. But Moshe fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, going to a strange well in a strange place was apparently the custom at this time. Seems to be the equivalent of signing up on matchmaker.com. We see Isaac got his bride that way. And Jacob got his bride that way, so Moses is in good company. Verse 16, and the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. But the shepherds came, the local shepherds, and drove them away. Then Moshe stood up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Well, one thing led to another, and in Exodus 3, verse 1, we read, and Moshe was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So he married one of the daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and he saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And he said, let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, and Yahweh called to him from the midst of the bush. Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals from off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground. And he said, I am Elohim, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, the Elohim of Jacob. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. And Yahweh said, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are in Mitzrim, and have that Mitzrim is the Hebrew word for Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mitzrayites. And that's the whole key to this message. And now, see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Mitzrayites oppress them. And now, come, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out from Mitzrim. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mitzrim? And he said, because I am with you, and this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mitzrim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14 of Exodus 3. And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now the Hebrew text reads, Eyah Esher Eyah, the word Eyah being derived from the word Eyah, which means to be, to exist. This is not his name, but it is an explanation that leads up to the revelation of his name in the next verse, which we will now read. Exodus 3:15. Remember that verse number and the content of the verse. Exodus 3:15. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. So Yahweh is his name forever, and that applies until today, certainly. Go, you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Mitzrayim. And I say, I am bringing you up out of the affliction of Mitzrayim to the land of Canaanite, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Mitzrayim, and you shall say to him, Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim. But I know that the king of Mitzrayim is not going to let you go, not even by a strong hand. And I shall stretch out my hand and smite Mitzrayim with all my wonders which I shall do in its midst. And after that, he shall let you go. And I shall give this people favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayites, and it shall be that when you go, you shall not go out empty-handed. But every woman shall ask from her neighbor and from the stranger in her house objects of silver and objects of gold and garments, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and shall plunder the Mitzrayites. Chapter 4, we'll sum up very quickly. Yahweh shows Moshe a couple of ways that he can know that this is a mighty being that he's talking to. The first is the snake test. He says, what's that in your hand? Moshe says, my walking stick, my staff. He says, throw it on the ground. Throws it on the ground, it becomes a snake. He says, grab it by the tail. Grabs it by the tail, it's his staff again. Okay, that was good. And he says, Moshe says, I'm not a good speaker, so I can't do this. And he always says, well, your brother's a good speaker, Aaron. So I'll send him with you, and Aaron will be your spokesperson, and you will be the one who tells him what to say. That was chapter 4. Chapter 5, and afterward, Moshe and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, thus said Yahweh Elohim of Israel, let my people go, so that they keep a festival to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know Yahweh, nor am I going to let Israel go. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Mitzrayim said to them, Moshe and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your burdens. They were slaves, had to do what they were told. And Pharaoh said, see, the people of the land are many now, and you make them cease from their burdens. The people of the land had multiplied over a period of about 100 years to be from 70 people who came into Egypt, Mitzrayim, to probably a couple of million people. They had had many babies, and the babies had many more babies. So they probably had an average of 5 or 6 babies per family, and kept doing that. Okay. Exodus 5:22, and Moshe returned to Yahweh and said, Yahweh, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you send me? For ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. And the beginning of chapter 6, Yahweh said to Moses, now see what I do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he is going to let you let them go. And with a strong hand, he is going to drive them out of this land. And Elohim spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. And by my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them? Now, punctuation in Hebrew manuscripts is a little bit different from what we have today. There were no periods, commas, colons, or other quotation marks, things like that. Didn't have them. So this is that's the result of the cause of this mistranslation. The Jews tend to translate this rather than by my name Yahweh, was I not known to them? They like to say by my name Yahweh, I'm sorry, by my name Hashem, which is Hebrew for the name, by my name Hashem, he was not known to them. So they got it wrong, and we hope to keep getting it right. So we can look at scriptures that show us that that the patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob, did call upon Yahweh by name. We see that in Genesis 12, verse 8, which is a record of the first meeting between Yahweh and Abraham, or Abram, as he was known at that time. Genesis 12, 8, and from there he moved to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built there an altar to Yahweh, and he called upon the name of Yahweh. Verse 4, back to Exodus. Okay, verse 4, and I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojournings in which they have sojourned. That's Yahweh speaking about Yahweh's name. Oh, about the promise. Okay. Verse 5. I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Midrashites are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I shall bring you out from under the burdens of the Midrashites, and shall deliver you from their enslaving, and shall redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great judgments, and shall take you as my people, and I shall be your Elohim, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who is bringing you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. And I shall bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Jacob, to give it to you as an inheritance. I am Yahweh. And Moshe spoke this to the children of Israel, but they did not listen to Moshe because of the shortness of spirit and from hard slavery. So they weren't used to interacting with Yahweh, and they had additional problems due to the slavery. Okay. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, go in, speak to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moshe spoke before Yahweh, saying, the children of Israel are not listening to me. And why would Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Mitzrayim. Chapter 6, verse 14. There are the heads of the fathers' houses, and it goes through a little more than a half a page of who was there of the Israelites. And I'll spare you the details and spare myself the pronouncing of some of these names that I'm not familiar with. down to verse 25, and Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their clans. Verse 26, this is Aaron and Moshe, to whom Yahweh said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Mitzrayim according to their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and to bring out the children of Israel from Mitzrayim. This is Moshe and Aaron. And it came to be, on the day when Yahweh spoke to Moshe in the land of Mitzrayim, that Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, I am Yahweh. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and say to him all that I say to you. And Moshe said before Yahweh, see, I am of uncircumcised lips, and why would Pharaoh listen to me? So Yahweh said to Moshe, see, I have made you an Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother is your prophet. An Elohim means a mighty being, and Moshe certainly did do things that appear to be mighty. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go out of his land. But I am going to harden the heart of Pharaoh and shall increase my signs and my wonders in the land of Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. And I shall lay my hand on Mitzrayim and bring my divisions and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Mitzrayim by great judgments. And the Mitzrites shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand on Mitzrayim, and I shall bring the children of Israel out from among them. And Moshe and Aaron did as Yahweh commanded them, so they did. Now Moshe was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old. I'm in good company. When they spoke to Pharaoh. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and throw it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moshe and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, as Yahweh commanded. And Aaron threw his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent, a snake. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the practicers of witchcraft, and they, the magicians of Mitzrayim, also did so with their magic. And they were able to do this by the power of Hasatan, the adversary, to make them look good. And Yahweh allowed it. And they, each one, threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But the rod of Aaron swallowed up their rods. And Yahweh's and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. Chapter 7, verse 14, the first plague. And Yahweh said to Moshe, the heart of Pharaoh is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And take in your hand the rod which was turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, so that they may serve me in the wilderness. But see, until now you have not listened. Thus says Yahweh, by this you will know that I am Yahweh. See, I am striking the waters which are in the river, and the rod that is in my, with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Midianites shall find it impossible to drink the water from the river. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Mitzrim, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, over all their pools of water, that they become blood. And there shall be blood in all the land of Mitzrim, both in wooden and stone containers. And Moshe and Aaron did so, as Yahweh commanded. And he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Midianites were unable to drink the water of the river, and the blood was in all the land of Mitzrim. And the magicians of Mitzrim did the same with their magic, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and his heart was not moved by this either. And all the Midianites dug all around the river for water to drink, for they were unable to drink the water from the river. Okay, Exodus 7:25, and 7 days were completed after Yahweh had struck the river. We're just going to quote enough of Revelation to show that there is a connection between the plagues in Egypt and the plagues in the last days that are revealed in Revelation. So the first of those quotations is from Revelation 8, beginning at verse 8. And the second messenger sounded, and what looked like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, a great mountain, like Mount Everest, or one of the greater mountains on the earth, would have been too much, I think. We're probably talking about a fairly good-sized asteroid. And the reason I think that's a problem, having a great mountain, is because the earth is moving. And whatever you find in space that collides with the earth is colliding at the speed of the earth moving, plus or minus the speed of the asteroid. How fast is the earth moving? It's an easy calculation. The distance from the sun to the earth is 93 million miles. Times 2 is the diameter of the earth's orbit. Times pi is the whole distance around the earth, which takes 1 year. You divide that out, and you come up with 66,000 miles per hour. That's moving. So just an object standing almost still in space is going to be hitting the Earth at 66,000 miles an hour, plus or minus. And the sun may be moving through space, too. I think it is, and it's likely that it's moving that fast, too. So it may be twice that. Okay. In Revelation 3, we read, and I shall give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clad in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that are standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if anyone wishes to harm them, fire comes out of their mouth and consumes their enemies. And if anyone wishes to harm them, he must be killed in that way. Did I skip something? No, I think not. Okay. These possess authority to shut the heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they possess authority over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they wish. So these are two men who are preachers of righteousness and preachers inspired by Yahweh. And they are given very great powers to kill people who stand in their way and to be able to perform other plagues on the earth as it's appropriate. And in Revelation 16:4, we also find, and the third messenger poured out his bowl on the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. So we have a strong parallel of the first plague. The second plague is found in Exodus 8, beginning at verse 1. Yahweh said to Moshe, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus said Yahweh, let my people go so that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, see, I am smiting all your border with frogs.'" Who's afraid of a little frog? "And the river shall swarm with frogs, which shall go up and shall come into your house and into your bedroom and onto your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants." And Yahweh said to Moshe, "Say to Aaron, stretch your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Mitzrim." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Mitzrim, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Mitzrim. And the magicians did so with their magic and brought up frogs on the land of Mitzrim. Just what we needed is more frogs. Pharaoh then called for Moshe and Aaron and said, "Pray to Yahweh to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I shall let their people go to sacrifice to Yahweh." And Moshe said to Pharaoh, "Explain yourself to me. When am I to pray for you and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and from your houses and remain only in the river? You want me to do it right away, or should we wait a few weeks?" So he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that so that you know that there is one like Elohim. There is no one like Yahweh, our Elohim. And the frogs shall turn aside from you and from your houses and from your servants and from all your people and shall remain in the river only." And Moshe and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moshe cried to Yahweh concerning the frogs which he had brought up against Pharaoh. And Yahweh did according to the word of Moshe, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. Revelation 16:13 says, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits as frogs." Well, three isn't going to cover the land like Moshe did, but it's frogs. It's in Revelation. The third plague on Egypt is found in verse 16. "And Yahweh said to Moshe, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it becomes gnats in all the land of Mitzrim.' And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the land became gnats in all the land of Mitzrim. And the magicians did similarly with their magic, to bring forth gnats, but they were unable. And there were gnats on man and beast. The magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of Elohim." But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. Okay, there's no mention really in Revelation of gnats or lice, but it could have been. It could have been that the two witnesses called that plague on the people. Okay, the fourth plague and begins in verse 20. And Yahweh said to Moshe, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water." What's this, rise early in the morning? Moses says, what should I do? Set my alarm clock? It won't be invented for several thousand years. What about your cell phone alarm? Cell phones won't be invented even later than alarm clocks. Think of something, Moshe. Well, the wife has a new baby. When she gets up during the night, I'll have her look outside and see how the stars are moving in the heavens, and if the night is mostly gone, I'll have her wake me. Yes, that'll work. Go ahead. So rise early in the morning and say to him, "Thus says Yahweh, let my people go so that they serve me. Or else, if you do not let my people go, I am sending swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Mitzrites shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I shall separate the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, so that you will know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the land. And I shall put a distinction between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be." And Yahweh did so, and thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Mitzrim. And the land was ruined because of the swarms of flies. Pharaoh then called Moshe and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your Elohim in the land." And Moshe said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Mitzrites to Yahweh our Elohim. See, if we sacrifice the abomination of the Mitzrayites before their eyes, wouldn't they stone us? Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, then we shall sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim as he commands us." And Pharaoh said, "I am letting you go. Then you shall sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim in the wilderness. Only do not go very far away." And pray for me. I wonder how Pharaoh allowed that to pass his lips. Must have been very, very embarrassing. Verse 29, and Moshe said, "See, when I leave you, I shall pray to Yahweh, and tomorrow the swarms of flies shall depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But do not let Pharaoh again deceive, not to let the people go to sacrifice to Yahweh." And Moshe went out from Pharaoh and prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh did according to the word of Moshe, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. Now that's an effective pest control. Not one fly in all of the land. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time too, and did not let the people go. Okay, as I mentioned, there's no mention of flies in Revelation. However, we might speculate that the two witnesses already mentioned could do this, to smite the earth with all plagues. Flies are not in the original Hebrew also. The term is more like a swarm of mixed things. This more likely is still flies and mosquitoes. However, the Septuagint, which is the translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, It was done about 300 years before the Messiah. And the Septuagint infers wild animals such as dogs, jackals, and even lions. I think I'll stick with flies. That's bad enough. However, the possibility is that this plague could match the above verse in Revelation 11:3. The next plague is found in Exodus 9, beginning at the first verse. And Yahweh said to Moshe, "Go into Pharaoh and speak to him, and say, 'Thus said Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, so that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, see, the hand of Yahweh is on your livestock, on the camels, the horses, the donkeys, the cattle, and the sheep, a very grievous pestilence. And Yahweh shall separate between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Mitzrayim, and let nothing die of all that belongs to the children of Israel.' And Yahweh set an appointed time, saying, 'Tomorrow Yahweh is going to do this word in the land.' And Yahweh did this word on the next day, and all the livestock of Mitzrayim died, but the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and see, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." Revelation, we can read in Revelation 6:8, "I looked and saw a pale horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and the grave followed with him. And authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and by beasts of the earth." This death may have included the livestock dying. And then down to verse 8 in Exodus 9. "And Yahweh said to Moshe and Aaron, 'Fill your hands with ashes from the furnace, and let Moshe scatter it toward the heavens before the eyes of Pharaoh. And it shall become fine dust in the land of Mitzrayim, and it shall cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast in all the land of Mitzrayim.' So they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moshe scattered them toward the heavens, and they caused boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians were unable to stand before Moshe because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Mitzrayites. But Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as he had said to Moshe." And in Revelation, we find Revelation 16:11, "They blasphemed the Elohim of the heaven for their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their works." So works is a key to this problem that Egypt has. Okay, verse 13 of Exodus 9, another plague. "And Yahweh said to Moshe, 'Rise early in the morning,'" use the same procedure you used last time, "'and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus said Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may serve me. For at this time I am sending all my plagues unto your heart, and on your servants and on your people, so that you know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Now, if I stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. And for this reason I have raised you up, in order to show you my power, and in order to declare my name in all the earth. You shall exalt yourself against my people. You still exalt yourself against my people in that you do not let them go." So the reason for all these plagues is so that Yahweh's name and Yahweh's power will be known to the Mizraites, to the other nations around them, and probably most of all to the children of Israel, because they need to understand who their Elohim is. Verse 18, see, tomorrow about this time, I am causing a very heavy hail to rain down. This is the seventh plague, such as has not been in Mitzrayim from the day of his founding until now. And now send, bring your livestock to safety and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every beast which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. Hailstones. Those among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of Yahweh made their servants and livestock flee into the houses. But those who did not set their heart on the word of Yahweh left their servants and livestock in the field. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, and let there be hail in all the land of Mitzrayim, on man and on beast, on every plant of the field throughout the land of Mitzrayim. Then Moshe stretched out his hand toward heaven, and Yahweh sent thunder and hail, and fire came down onto the earth, lightning. And Yahweh rained hail on the land of Mitzrayim. Thus there came to be hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy, such as had not been in the land of Mitzrayim since it became a nation. And the hail smote the land of Mitzrayim, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Usually hail doesn't break trees, but in this case the hailstones were big enough that they were able to do that. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Pharaoh then sent and called for Moshe and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The light is beginning to dawn, maybe. Yahweh is righteous and my people and I are wrong. He includes the people in this. And I'm not suffering through this alone. Pray to Yahweh, for there has been enough of the thunder and hail of Elohim, and I am letting you go so that you stay no longer. And Moshe said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, let me spread out my hands to Yahweh. Let the thunder cease and the hail be no more, so that you know that the earth belongs to Yahweh. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not fear before Yahweh Elohim. And the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not smitten, for they were late crops. Okay, the kind of crops we're talking about is winter crops. Winter barley, winter wheat, and so forth. Farmers still grow winter crops today. They're planted in the fall and they sprout up and turn green, of course, and they don't have an opportunity to bear fruit because winter closes in. And then they just go dormant during the winter. And in the springtime, when the weather's right, they continue growing and bear fruit. So no matter when they're planted, if they make it through the winter, they'll grow at the same time they're supposed to. Okay. Okay, we're still talking about the plague of hail. Well, okay, there it is. Okay, I found my place. And Moshe went out of the city and from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to Yahweh, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased. Yet he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the children of Israel go, as Yahweh had said through Moshe. And in Revelation, we read in Revelation 8:7, and the first messenger sounded, and there came to be hail, and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up, and the dwelling place of Elohim was opened in the heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his dwelling place. And there came to be lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. That's Revelation 11:19. And now Revelation 16:21. And great hail from the heaven fell on men, every hailstone about the weight of a talent. And I ought to have looked that up, but it's a couple of pounds at least. And men blasphemed Elohim for the plague of hail, because that plague was exceedingly great, I can imagine. The next plague is found in Exodus 10, beginning at verse 1. And Yahweh said to Moshe, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, so that I show signs of mine before him. And that you relate in the hearing of your son and your son's son that what I have done in Mitzrayim and my signs which I have done among them, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. And Moshe and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus said Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, till when shall you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, see, tomorrow I am bringing locusts within your borders, and they shall cover the surface of the land so that no one is able to see the land, and they shall eat the rest of what has escaped, what remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field, and they shall fill your houses and your houses of your servants, and the houses of all the Mizraites, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on earth to this day. Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, till when would this one be a snare for us? Let them go so that they serve Yahweh their Elohim. Do you not know yet that Mitzrayim is destroyed? And Moshe and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve Yahweh your Elohim. Who are the ones who are going? And Moshe said, we are going with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we are going, for we have a festival to Yahweh. And he said to them, let Yahweh be with you, as I let you and your little ones go. Watch, for evil is before your face. Not so. You men go now and serve Yahweh, for that is what you desired. And when they were driven out from the presence of, and they were driven out from the presence of Pharaoh. And Yahweh said to Moshe, stretch out your hand over the land of Mitzrayim, for the locusts to come on the land of Mitzrayim and eat every plant of the land, all that the hail has left. And Moshe stretched out his rod over the land of Mitzrayim, and Yahweh brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. Morning came, and the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Mitzrayim and settled within all the borders of Mitzrayim, very grievous. There had never been locusts like them before, nor would there be again like them. And they covered the surface of the land, so that the land was darkened. And they ate every plant of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And no greenness was left on the trees or on the plants of the field in all the land of Mitzrayim. Pharaoh then called Moshe and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against Yahweh your Elohim and against you. And now, please forgive my sin only this once and pray to Yahweh your Elohim that he would only turn away this death from me. And he went out from Pharaoh and prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the sea of reeds. Not one locust was left within all the borders of Mitzrayim. However, guess what? Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not let the children of Israel go. And we see in Revelation 9:3, out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth with authority, and authority was given to them as scorpions of the earth possess authority. So scorpions have a deadly sting. Okay, plague number 9 begins in verse 21 of Exodus 11. And Yahweh said to Moshe, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, and let there be darkness over the land of Mitzrayim, even a darkness which is felt. And Moshe stretched out his hand toward the heavens, and there was thick darkness all in the land of Mitzrayim for 3 days. I wonder how they knew it was day. They did not see one another. Oh, we're going to get to that. Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, while the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That's how they knew there was days and nights. Verse 24, and Pharaoh called to Moshe and said, go, serve Yahweh, only leave your flocks and your herds behind. Let your little ones go with you too. But Moshe said, you yourself are to provide us with sacrifices and burnt offerings to prepare for Yahweh our Elohim. And our livestock are to go with us too. Not a hoof is to be left behind, for we have to take some of them to serve Yahweh our Elohim. And we ourselves do not know with what we are to serve him until we come there. However, Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Watch yourself and see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you die. And Moshe said, you have spoken rightly. Never again will I see your face. In Revelation 16:10, we read, the fifth messenger poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his reign became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Darkness which can be felt. I used to have a hat made of felt. It's wool that's compressed into a sheet. And that was what that darkness was like. Couldn't see nothing. Okay. Now the tenth plague. Yahweh said to Moshe, I am bringing yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Mitzrayim. After that, he is going to let you go from here. When he lets you go, he shall drive you out from here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor objects of silver and objects of gold. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayites. That's an interesting thing that can still happen today for believers. If you ask Yahweh to give you favor in the eyes of the school authorities or your boss, he can do that. He can switch their minds so that they will give you favor and make a good decision on your behalf. That's important. Yahweh gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayites, and the man Moshe was very great in the land of Mitzrayim. and in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants and in the eyes of the people. And Moshe said, thus said Yahweh, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Mitzrayim, and all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of cattle. And there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Mitzrayim, such as has never been or ever be again. But against the children of Israel, no dog shall move its tongue, against man or against beast, so that you know that Yahweh makes distinction between Mitzrayim and Israel. And all these servants of yours shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people. This is Moses talking now. And after that, I shall go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great displeasure. But Yahweh said to Moshe, this is the last page, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. In order, now this is the reason for all this suffering, to multiply my wonders in the land of Mitzrayim. And Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. However, Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Well, that's the end of Exodus 11, and we'll leave chapter 12 to be reserved for this evening's Passover observation. Now, regarding the citations from Revelation, there's no specific mention in Revelation of just the firstborn dying. However, in Revelation 19, verses 19 to 21 talks about the final destruction of the beast, the false prophet, and the kings of the earth and their armies, and all those who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. So those categories of people will be destroyed. So what do we learn from all this? Those who set themselves against Yahweh, as Pharaoh did, will suffer the plagues he sends. Yahweh's people may be hurt, but not nearly as much as evildoers and scoffers. This all happened in Egypt 3,500 years ago, and it will happen again. You can read about it in Revelation. May Yahweh please protect us in that day as we willingly yield to him. To review the plagues, number one, blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock dying, boils, hail, thunder, and lightning, locusts, darkness for 3 days, and the death of the firstborn of all the people in Egypt and all the animals. It's impressive, and it's good to be on the right side of that. So let's make sure that we are indeed yielded to Yahweh our Elohim, and may his name be praised.